Welcome to our podcast, Coffee Science for Coffeepreneurs.
I'm Ida Steen, and I will talk about sensory methodology and education.
I'm Morten Münchow, and I'll talk about coffee roasting. Welcome to this webinar about acids in brewed coffee. We have been looking immensely forward to presenting the data and also discuss it with you. And we are here at the University of Copenhagen. And we have Christina, who is the main author of the article. And then Ida, who got a bit interested in this and a bit suspicious in 2014 when she started to teach the SCA curriculum. And then Davide is the senior researcher in a lot of our research. So we just want to present the background for the project, and also then later Christina will present the specific content, and then we'll all be available for a Q&A later. Yes, so yes, that's the four of us with the title of today's webinar. And for those of you who hang out to the end of the presentation, there will be a special offer. Basically, Ida and I have put all our digital products into one major bundle discount, 76% for two e-learning courses and a lot of our other digital products. And there will be an optional upgrade of the of this offer, where you can either get an Ida Sensory Kit shipped to your home for 4 weeks daily training, or you can get a seat on one of my virtual live roasting classes on Bullet, Ikawa, or Stronghold. So that was just a little teaser. The way that we think about roasting and sensory education, or coffee education in general, is through the lens of sensory science. And sensory science, as I would explain it, is based on Rosemary Pangborn's ideas, where you have three different phases of a test and three different questions that you ask for each phase. And the first and most fundamental question is, do we think we can taste the difference at all? So there's a lot of claims and theories out there where people are kind of assuming that drum speed makes a difference, or different types of organic acid makes a difference, or airflow makes a difference, or a lot of things people kind of claim. The first fundamental question is, can we taste the difference at all? And there are a very specific way of testing that, which should precede everything else. It doesn't make sense to describe differences before you've proven that they indeed are there. And that might be a bit of a problem with the organic acid kind of claims that are around in the coffee business in general, in the education systems. After describing the differences, so first proving that the differences are there, next step is describing the differences, and the third step is who likes what, because there's no universal best according to sensory science. There's just differences, and some people like some aspect and others like others. As you can see here with this slide, for example, light, medium, and dark. If there is a big difference in color of coffee, you can taste the difference, and you can also describe it. So darker being more bitter, lighter being more acidic. And then you can test which segments like what, because not everybody likes light roasted coffee, and not everybody likes dark roasted coffee. And it's actually sensory science at least as I explain it, is actually as simple as this with these three different steps that you need to kind of prove before rolling it out in big education systems, according to that. That's what we think. So first of all, a bit about acids in coffee. Chlorogenic acid is not very acidic. It's actually a source of bitterness, if anything. So that's not really relevant here. And then that we have the acids that are already present in coffee before roasting. And that's malic, citric, and tartaric acid. So it's longer or bigger acids with several acidic active sites, actually. So it's the carboxylic end of an acid that makes it acidic. So you can see here, citric has three of them, malic only has two of them, and tartaric has two of them. So they are not equally acidic per molecule, and neither are they per gram. So you would need to treat them differently if you wanted to make solutions with the same level of acidity. So that's another fundamental problem using them in education, because that would have been a piece of work that had needed to be done first to find out how even to dilute these so that they have the same intensity of acidity before it makes sense to then describe the differences. And then there are the smaller ones that are kind of broken off of the fundamental molecule glucose. And here you have some really small ones, formic, the smallest, and acetic. These are so small, they are volatile. And then glycolic and lactic is not volatile. They're too heavy to be volatile. So that's the acids that we have in coffee. And these are created during roasting. UC Davis and SCA did a meta-analysis of acids in coffee and published it in 21. And we were really, because at this point we've been working on this several years. So I was just, we were just, oh, okay, perhaps they kind of made this faster than us. But this is a meta-analysis. So it takes all the research present on the subject that has ever been published on the subject, put it into a kind of review first, and then also takes all the data from all the articles and put it into one big data model so that the statistics is based on the data from all the individual articles, which is really interesting. But this way, there's also kind of a natural angle on the subject because it's based on everything ever published. So this piece of work is looking at green and roasted coffee, not brewed coffee, and focused mainly on chlorogenic acid differences between Robusta and Arabica, which is, of course, interesting, but not something that proves the relevance of using individual organic acids in education. And one interesting thing about the conclusion is that the overall, I think, conclusion is that there's relative little research that has been done, despite their important role in sensory quality. And here it's assumed that it has an important role in the sensory quality, which could be true or not, but it's not really, it's just assumed in the conclusion that it's important, even though it wasn't really clear from the data in the article. So that's a bit strange, actually. But of course, it's an interesting piece of work, but it doesn't really focus on the subject that we focus on, namely individual organic acids in Arabica in brewed coffee. So that's the novelty of our project, which is the kind of the state it has to be in to be relevant in coffee, right? It has to be brewed. Otherwise, it's not really relevant for the coffee world. One of the things that Ida was really wondering about is, first of all, she had to teach this during the SCA century courses, and she had no theory to back it up. So that was one of the frustrating aspects for her, because if she teaches something with a scientific background, it's nice to be able to back it up with some theory, right, rather than just teaching it. So that was a frustration. And also a fundamental question she had, why does the three different education system use different assets and not the same? And what's the basis of the concentrations and so on? So that was one of the things that she was wondering. And actually, I just want to come with a commercial disclaimer now, because Coffee Mind has, we sell education. So some people might think that we have an interest in kind of pointing at the other education systems just to get some attention, which is definitely not the case with this project, because given the research that we just showed you, right, the meta-analysis and so on, the work that we've done simply hasn't been done yet. So what's the threshold? How should they be diluted and so on? And is it even relevant? That's not in the scientific literature yet. So if we were the first to prove that it is relevant, that would have been just as good a story for us as proving that it's not relevant. So it's simply because Ida is developing an education system based on scientific principles. So she wanted to know if she should include it or not. And this is the way to find out. That's the only way to find out. So we could have been the first one to prove that it actually works. We could have been the first one to prove that some of the assets can be identified and some not. Or we could have been the first one to prove that it doesn't seem that any of the assets could be relevant. And all three scenarios would have been just as interesting for us. So in science, you just provide the method and Mother Nature provides the results. So that's, we wouldn't have had any way of protecting ourselves against an outcome that they actually could taste them because of the way that everything was set up. So it was weird for Ida to see that the different education systems chose different assets without any evidence of the why between the choice of the different assets. So so in March 2023, finally, we published this work. And we've been did a pilot study 6 years ago. And now finally this was published. So that was just a bit of the background for this. And now I will hand this over to Christina.
Thank you. Skal jeg hjælpe mig med at dele min skærm? Jeg har sat den på den der. Okay. So, Mort gave a presentation about what we did and why. Now I will give a short presentation of what we found and how we found it. So, what did I do? My dad might have Never mind. So we did some chemical analysis to find out exactly how much acid was in our coffee brews. And we also did some sensory analysis. So first of all, we had 15 samples we used. We had 15 samples we used. We had two different Brazil, and we had a Bolivian, and we had two different Kenyas. And all five coffees we roasted to three different roast level, a light, a medium, and a dark. Then we brewed all the coffee. The most essential part of our project is that we brewed it for consumption. And then we did the... Good. We just had a technical
issue. Okay, so we did the chemical analysis, and what we found is that what we found is in previously studied, that some of the acid increased and some of the acid decreased with the roasting increase. And that is, we suspected this because everybody has found that this is chemistry, roasting chemistry, as Morten also said. There are some dotted lines, and I will come back to that later. The only one where we actually found a difference within the samples was the chlorogenic acid right here, where only one Brazil was different. And then we found it for the citric acid here. You see the Brazilian has a higher concentration than the citric acid than the Kenyan acid. This is also what we expected. This is also found previously in the literature. All of the other acids, there were no difference between the samples, as you see here, because all of the samples, they are one big clump. I don't know what to call it. As you see here, it's all the same. It's all aligned here. The only difference we found is between the roasting degree, the lighter, the medium, and the darker. And that was for all of the acids except the formic acids. As you see here, there is no significant difference between the roasting. This means already here we have found our answer for our study, that there is no need to look at the different acids in the sense of origin, because there is no difference, only in the citric acid. So we could actually have stopped our investigation here. We did not, however. And you can also see it here. This is another way of looking at it. You see here in the bottom with the lighter and the medium and the darker, there is actually no difference between all of the different acids. It's only kinic acids, and here you see the citric acids. This is another way of showing the same results. So we did the sensory evaluation just to see, okay, one thing is the mechanical, chemical analysis, but what about the human senses? We need to test it. So we did two different tests. We did first a detection threshold, and this is only about detecting the acid. So when can we detect acid? There is here some definition about it. I will not read it up. You can read it. I don't know if we share the slides later. And then we also did an identification test, and this is naming the acid. There is a big difference between those two. So the first one is only detecting the acid without being able to name it, and the other one is actually naming the acid. And typically, the concentration of the acid needs to be way higher before we can actually name the acid. So the first test we did was the detection threshold test. We did a two alternative ascending force choice method, also called a two AFC test. We did it on 24 consumers. And as you see here, we had it in four different concentration, and we had a spiked coffee and we had a blank coffee. Yeah, I need to say we did this in coffee because coffee is more complex than water, and it is relevant to test this in coffee because this is what we are talking about. So they got served the spiked and the blank in a randomized order, but from the lowest concentration up to the highest concentration. We asked two questions. We asked which sample is the more sour of the two here in a pair, and then they had to answer which one is the more sour, and then they had to answer how confident are you. And then they got the next sample. They had to ask the same question, and the third and the fourth. So this is how we did it. And the results showed that here the green piles are the average concentration we found of all 15 samples we found in the coffee, all the green samples here. And the orange sample is the detection threshold, meaning that if a detection threshold is below the average concentration, people can significantly taste that there is a more acidic in this sample. And as you see here, for the citric acid, the detection threshold is way below the average concentration, which meaning they can find that in this coffee, there is a more acidic sample and they can find it easily. Phosphoric, you can see there is a slightly difference. Still, they can find it. However, it is so close to the average concentration that we might not be sure that they can actually taste it. However, for lactic and malic, this is not the case. When spiked in coffee, in the average concentration found in coffee, people cannot even tell if the coffee is more acidic or not, meaning that they cannot even begin to be able to name the acidic spike in the coffee. Acidic here, they cannot find it at all. So I told you I will come back to the dotted line here. So you see here, the dotted line is the detection threshold test, and the black line here is the average concentration. So when the detection threshold test is below the average concentration, means that people can taste that there is added something sour into this coffee. And again here, you see that it's clearly for all of the citric acid, except it might be difficult for the ones below here, really close to, but we say they can still. One of the acids there's a lot of talk about is the malic acid here.
And hey, Christina, can I just mention that there's this point with the surprise that it's the Brazilian that has the highest level of citric.
That is true, because most people, we all know who drink coffee, we all know that the Kenyan is perceived more acidic than the Brazilian one. However, there is more acidic in the Brazil than in the Kenyan. So that is quite funny. And I think we will talk about this later on in the presentation as well. But you're quite right, Morten. So the malic acid here, you see, because a lot of people talk about the difference between malic acid and citric acid, these are the two most important acids to be able to distinguish between. However, as we see here, the average concentration is below the detection threshold, which means that everything below this red line here, we cannot even say that there is acid in. Therefore, meaning we cannot even say there is malic acid in. So one might say, but here, okay, so up here with the A, the little green one is above, one of the Brazil is above the dotted line. And yeah, maybe you can find it in a lighter roasted Brazilian coffee. You might be able to find there is more acidic, true, but on average, it's not able. You're not able to. To make sure that the first test we did on untrained consumers, and we did that because we know that just being able to detect something, you don't need to be an expert and you don't need to be trained. Of course, you can train yourself a little bit better, but on average basis, there would be no difference. So it's sufficient to do it with the untrained panel. However, we wanted to take this to the next level. So we wanted to test it on coffee expert. Are they able to name the acid they can taste in the coffee? Because this is what we're talking about. Can they actually name it and they train it, as Morten also said? So we took 13 highly trained coffee expert and we tested them if they could name the acid. First, we did it in water, where we added the same concentration that SEA and all the other training facilities are using in water. And then we took the mean measured concentration I just told you before, and we added it into coffee. And by adding the mean, we actually doubled the concentration found in coffee. And the result from that was, as you see here, the red line for water is when they found it in water is here, and the, I don't know, green, blue is here. Before, to be able to detect it significantly, 8 people here had to be able to test it, taste it, and only 5 people here found it in coffee and in water, meaning that the only acid the panel were able to identify was acetic acid in water. Everything in coffee, some people were, of course, able to name it, but not enough so we can say that it's a scientific significant. So the conclusion of our study was that the roasting systematically changed the acid composition. However, there was no difference between origin within the samples. Only chlorogenic and citric acid were significantly different between the samples, as I told you before. And only citric acid could be detected above the concentration measured in brewed coffee. And none of the tested acid could be identified and named by coffee expert when spiked into brewed coffee. So this is what we found.
Does anybody want to ask us a question or discuss this? Oh, yes. Okay. Okay, if it's possible to share the files, yes, we will send an email after this where you'll get the presentation.
Yes, and maybe you can also mention that the scientific article is also open access, so you can also read the full article if you're interested in digging deeper into anything.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll also send the link to the full article. Okay, so Thomas Hum, did the taster have a chance to smell the spike cups? For the acetic acid, a difference might be noticeable in smell, but not in taste.
Yeah, they were able, we asked them not to, to smell, but only taste. But as, I don't know if you took Ida's course, but Ida can tell you about retronasal and otronasal, how you taste the coffee. I don't know if you tell a little bit about this later in the, no. But when you swallow, you would also breathe out through your nose, and by there you would also taste it normally. That's how you drink coffee. So we did not use a nose clip. Of course, we could have done that, but that's also not a natural part of drinking coffee. So at some point, they would have been able to somewhat smell the coffee. Yeah.
And he's right. It's probably the reason. Yeah, I think he is telling you are right. It's probably the reason why they could detect that acid and
yeah,
the others.
Yeah.
Because of the volatile.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay. And the next question. When you say coffee experts, were these Q graders or how were you identifying them as experts? I think I'll answer that question because this was a bit tricky because we don't. So here in Scandinavia, we don't have too many, neither Q graders nor SGA sensory ASTs or sensory professionals. So it's not easy to find a group because in Scandinavia. People, they don't use certification systems very much. So we also thought that, well, okay, it's great to have a certificate, but really also based on Ida's research on sensory learning, you don't learn to be better just in 3 days or 4 days that these courses take. So for us, it's not really to have an SGA certificate or be a Q grader. Well, if you are skilled, it's because you trained before the exam, right? Because you would need several weeks to improve. So it's not really the training, 4 day training that make you better. So for us, it's more kind of the lifestyle that you live. So for us,
We found Coffee Collective's 13 bar managers because that was easy to find. And we thought if it's not relevant for that group, they've chosen coffee as a vocation, and also education is part of what they do. So Coffee Collective have created their own education system, actually also where they use the assets. I don't know if they'll change that now. But so we thought if it's not relevant for these people, regardless of certificate, we don't think it's relevant for the business in general. But of course, it would be interesting to do it with Q-graders at some point. But it's just we don't have any in this area. And we hope that this research will inspire other people to do the same, of course. And it is a bit surprising that this work is not done yet, right? That we can come up with this research. And even if we are wrong, even if our research is completely wrong and somebody finds out, we're the first one who attempted to do it, which is a bit interesting, we think, after so many years of this being standard in the education system or systems. Okay, Richard Lenning, what do you think the impact of this research might be?
I can take that if you want.
Yeah, so Davide, so perhaps you can put on your...
Yeah,
yes.
So I would say it's of course, if you work in education, it's probably relevant to know what's in coffee and what makes sense to test. But I would say the deeper point is that you can settle a lot of open questions with carefully designed experiments. And I think in terms of sensory studies, there is a lot of claims that have never been really validated empirically. And I think I don't work with coffee, primarily. It's only when Morten involves me in some exciting tests such as this. But I was quite surprised to see that there is not a lot of literature out there. And it's quite surprising because coffee is, of course, a big commodity. And I think so there's not a lot of it. There is also a lot of it that is not necessarily applicable to brewed coffee, because as Christina mentioned, there might be data on green coffee or roasted coffee, but not brewed coffee, which is of course what we want at the end of the day, if the idea is to have some understanding of the drinking experience of coffee. So I think that, of course, acidity, back to this main study, is of course an important contributor to coffee quality, certainly for light roasts it is. So I think this is a starting point, and of course no study is ever perfect, and I think people should build on this. For example, on the origin aspect, there is of course it would be nice to continue on that side, because of course there is a lot of variation within specific countries, right? So I think the value is that it is a starting point for building on.
Great. All right. Next question. So we can difference in acid based on elevations. Oh, so the question is if there's any evidence that elevation or growth height affects acids. And I've actually been trying to look for such a study, but I haven't been able to find anything. Don't you think that's the question, Eva?
Yeah, so I think the main idea is that the higher it's grown, the more acidic it becomes.
Yeah.
So, and maybe there's something there. I don't know how much research that has been done. But again, our focus was more on the different acids, and we don't know if there's any difference.
Yeah, because I've been trying to look for research like that, and I haven't been able to find anything. It's also a bit difficult to set that up, right? Because you would have to have some kind of cliff where you could grow coffee at different heights, basically underneath each other to get the same climate, right? But of course, it could be interesting to do.
anonymous, did you find any relevance regarding process, or all coffees had the same process?
No, we did not find anything, because we had two different process methods in our study, and that was not relevant to look at in regards of how much the difference concentration was between the acids.
No, we wanted to kind of keep it simple, right? And just look at a few things, because if you're looking at everything, it's difficult, right? Because so the whole origin part of our study is not very strong, because we only have five different coffees too. So, and we wanted to focus on very different coffees. That's why we chose Pulp Natural Brazil and Kenya, to make sure that we have coffees that was very different in sensory expression of acids. And so the novelty of our study is that even on extreme differences, we it didn't seem that there was relevant differences. But that is something that could be interesting to look at in future research, how much variation there is on different beans, and certainly also processes, because of course different processes might have has different biochemistry, and it could be interesting to see if they group differently. But based on our study, it doesn't seem like that it's worth putting in millions in, because it doesn't really seem that there's a lot, but who knows? But that's an interesting question for sure.
Yeah, then Simone is asking, what do you think about the new SCAR beta form, where they limit the access to acids to dry and sweet? And yeah, that's of course very interesting, and it's... For us, which we like to keep it a bit more simple and really look at acidity as acidic sourness. And then if I were to score dry, I would call it astringency and then score it as a separate descriptor. The same with sweet, I would like to score that as a sweet intensity scoring, and then combine that with the... So I would, if I had a score of acidity plus an astringency score plus a sweetness score, those three scores together would give me a... idea of how the coffee is taste. Yeah, I think we really overcomplicate it and make it very difficult to evaluate. If we have a, like, what is a sweet acidity, what is a dry acidity, it will be different descriptors combined into one, actually. So yeah, it's not the way we would choose to do it.
What do you think causes the big difference in acidity perception between Brazil and Kenyan coffees? Well,
the chlorogenic acids.
Yeah, it might be the chlorogenic. The thing is, we have no idea, right?
No, but in sensory, we have this thing called sensory suppression, a mixture suppression. So that means if you have more than one basic taste in a mixture, they will taste less intense than if you have them alone. So we saw that in the Brazilian coffee, we also have a lot of chlorogenic acids that's degraded into kinic acids. Mm-hmm. And because they taste bitter, I don't know, but it could be some of the explanation why we don't perceive the acidity as high as in the Kenyan coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's also one of the things from our research that calls to more research, right? That this is such a weird result it's weird that our research is the first one pointing at this. Why hasn't this obvious thing been pointed out before by some research? It's really weird, right? So nobody has ever really asked that question that clearly before. And that's one of the contributions from our research, that you cannot ignore the strange fact that Kenyans has half the amount of citric acid than Brazil, so that has to be investigated. But that's also just that fact also makes it very suspicious that you should even be able to taste the differences between individual coffees way below the sensory threshold, right, or at the threshold. If there's not even a relationship between the total concentration of citric acid and perceived acidity, it's very unlikely that you are able to identify individual other acids, right?
So it just really shows that there's a far gap between the chemistry and the perceived acidity. So that's definitely an open question that should be investigated further. I would like to know, Sandra asked, I would like to know about volatile compounds, if there is any correlation between acidity or just aroma.
So I don't know if I understand the question correctly, but definitely there is a contribution of aroma on perceived acidity. There is usually, smell, they tend to occur together with basic taste. And sometimes you can hear, let's say if you go to a perfume store, you can say, oh, this smells sweet, for an example, right? Which doesn't necessarily mean anything from a scientific point of view, but it's just because maybe the thing, like the strawberry odor, always occurs together with some sweetness. And I think there are studies that show that there is an enhancement of, for example, a basic taste like sweetness or like acidity, in our case, if it occurs together with a congruent odor, so with an odor that you would expect to find it together. So I think that definitely is some correlation. So if you have acidity together with some congruent smell, it could be like a fruity smell, like a citrus or some green grassy that you expect to find that you experience together with sourness, that would be something that enhanced the acidity relative to having no aroma or something not associated with acidity.
Okay, and Rad, what is the best way to train myself to detect the acids in coffee? Don't assume that you can or it's relevant. That I think that's the shortest answer. Let's see what future research. This is our research is the first to kind of shed a completely new light to this. So who knows what comes in the future? But as of now, I would spend my time elsewhere on sensory learning. So Kyle, what would you suggest takes the place of acids on these industry tests? Okay, yeah, so what other type of training to do than acids? Perhaps either you.
To know if they need a replacement. Our sensory training kit we have developed where we use basic taste and take tests where you have to rank them in different concentrations and also detect all the aromas. And then we include coffee samples, different roasting degrees, roasting defects, and so on. So we basically use our flavor wheel and dig into all the categories, flavors, aromas, taste, mouthfeels that we have there. So I will not replace it, but I would leave it out and focus on the other things.
Yeah, basically our approach is to focus on the basic stuff rather than the fluffy stuff, right? Also in coffee roasting, we tend to just focus on time, temperature, and effect of heat source and color as the basic things. And not strange mathematical calculations that people don't really understand the why of anyway. And that's the same with the sensory. People, they love to talk about very advanced descriptors, but sometimes people are not even able to correctly identify acidity and bitterness. We generally spend more time training the fundamentals than the fluffy stuff. I think that's our general approach to roasting and sensory. Okay, Adiola, can I translate the article into Spanish? Yes, it's open access, as Ida mentioned, so you can just I will send the link. It was also in the invite, actually, and then you can translate it. It's open access. It's for free to get.
where were all the tasters from Scandinavia? And do you think the sensibility regarding the acids can also be cultural?
They were not. The tasters were from all over the world, but living and working in Denmark as of this moment of the test. But they were from all over.
Okay.
Yeah.
At Coffee Collective?
At Coffee Collective.
Yeah. Okay. But is sensitivity could be that? Is that cultural, David? Perhaps you do you have?
It's an interesting question. I think that that it could be. So, for an example, you could imagine that something like a malic acid, which is often found in wine, it would be more familiar to people in Italy, let's say, than people in Denmark, whereas the citric acid is certainly something that the Danish people are exposed a lot. So it might be that of course, familiarity through one's diet and therefore culture influences the performance. It's an interesting question. I don't think that it would have effect, however, the results in our test, at least for the threshold ones, because we didn't ask about, we just asked people to indicate which of two samples was sourer or more acidic without having to specify. Perhaps it is possible to think that if you are more familiar with the compound, you would identify it faster than otherwise. But then again, the people in the identification test were trained, so the training should have sort of put them on equal footing, regardless of where they came from. That's an interesting question.
Great. Fabiola, why do you think this was never studied or even questioned before?
Well, that's also what we ask ourselves.
Yeah.
I've been wondering for the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's basically, Ida has been looking for this for so many years and not being able to find anything. So that's actually a really good question that we have been asked. And
it's because it's believed that this is common knowledge in the industry, so there is no need to actually investigate it. And a lot of scientific literature, they cite other scientific literature without maybe looking really deep into what the other article did. And they're all citing back to one article that is 60 years old, actually not showing any scientific studies. So it's because nobody looked into this really, really deep, like Ida tried to do when she started this investigation. So because of common knowledge, nobody thought it was necessary. That's why.
Yeah, and we've also felt this a bit on social media, that there's a big pushback on this because people assume that it's correct, which is interesting. Okay. Stefan, great question and interesting finding. As a fairly new coffee roaster, it's definitely nice to know you don't have to be able to find all the different acids in the roasted coffee. I'm curious to hear more about the reason to why you tend to call Kenyan coffee more acidic and not exactly normally the Brazilian. How is that? Is that due to the other parts of the coffee from Brazil also being more obvious in tasting, such as sweetness and maybe body? Or you tend to call Kenyan coffee more acidic. It's based on I would also say common wisdom in the coffee business. If you've tasted Kenyan and Brazil, it's quite obvious. But of course, that would also be interesting to do as a sensory study in itself. But as you have to, when you do a research project, you have to confine yourself to a few questions, because if you are asking a lot of questions, you're actually so often not finding anything, right? So, of course, there's a lot of other research that needs to be done. Other than this, we definitely haven't claimed to kind of be done with this research, but we think we've made the first real piece that you cannot ignore if you want to do research on this in the future. So hopefully people will build on these findings.
Yeah, and also just remember what we discussed before in relation to some of the previous questions. So, for example, Ida talked about taste interactions, right? So the perceived acidity is also going to depend on, the intensity of bitterness, for an example, in the brew. It's also going to depend on what aroma compounds are there, as we talked before. So I think. You know, there is more to perceived acidity than just the concentration of a specific acid, right? So that could also explain some of these differences.
According to the research, should we change how we describe the acidity in coffee?
Yes.
Yes. and that's also why, if you see on our flavor wheel, that's just sour. This just acidic. Don't try to differentiate it. At least if you describe the acidity, don't assume that it's the acids you are describing. You can describe the sensory perceived acidity in ways you describe, but don't assume that it correlates with the chemistry. Emil, thank you for a great presentation, a huge work you have done. You mentioned that acids in coffee are not detected by humans or experts, maybe with a few specific examples. Does that mean the concept of one coffee tasting more acidic than another is false, or why do we still perceive one coffee more sour than another?
Here it's very important to differentiate between sourness and specific acids in coffee. So what we found was that it's not possible to detect one specific acid, but it is possible to score a coffee as being high or low in acidity, sourness.
Oh, Jim, I must leave now. Please include me on the email. We'll do that. question is, can we find difference in acids between elevation? I think that, we already had one. That one might be, but that we didn't look into that. Majed, the amount of acids in roasted coffee are impacted by the roast degree. Does that heat transfer have any effect on the each acid differently? No. I don't think so, but that's also another research project than the one we did. We didn't look into the different types of heat transfer. Sander, if there's not much difference in the main acids found in coffee, how could coffee taste from Middle and South America taste in general less sour than African coffees?
The difference I talked about in main acid was for each single acid. And so what you are talking about is what I said was each acid individually. But of course, there is a difference in overall acidity in each coffee. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference, just not what I was talking about, because that was single acids.
Okay.
Yeah. If that was the question.
Different varieties, something that could have an impact on this study. Yeah, we talked about that earlier, that it could be interesting to look deeper into the to the terroir aspect here and get a lot of more acids. But again, our study doesn't indicate that you should invest too much in that, because there seems to be such a big gap between the chemistry and the sensory perception that even if you find some systematic differences, they might not be relevant from a sensory and education perspective. What process was the Brazilian and Kenyan coffees, the Brazilian pulp natural and Kenyan washed? Majed, heat transfer method has more impact on a specific acid than others. We talked about that. We don't think so. Does this research somehow suggest that gas chromatography test results might not always be aligned with how we perceive taste in terms of acids, fruity sensations related to acids? Yes, that's what it suggests.
and that's very established, this lecture. Yeah, it's very established that it is like that. There is not a one-to-one correspondence between what you get out of gas chromatography if it's about aromas and what people will perceive, because you know, there is it really depends on the contents, on whatever else is there. There is also a limit to how many volatiles, we're talking about gas chromatography, can be perceived. So it's usually two or three that can be perceived at the same time, and might be the ones that are more volatile, so they reach the receptor faster, or that are more unexpected, you know, that capture your attention. So definitely, it's not you know, whenever you do instrumental measurements, it's not necessarily the case that it's always gonna reflect in the perception space.
Yeah, the world is not as simple as we want it to be sometimes. If the perceived acidity does not correlate with Mesh's acid, do you know anything about what perceived acidity is based on? We already talked about that. It must have something to do with the acids, but there are masking effects and mixture effects and so on that are very complex.
But it is correlated. It is correlated. Yeah, it is positively correlated. It's just not, you know, a plus one correlation.
Yeah, so it is the acids that you are tasting, but the intensity is not just a one-to-one. I'm a new roaster from Brazil. Interesting to know that the study found that the concentration of citric acid in Brazilian green coffee is higher than Kenyans. The classic profile of chocolatey, nutty notes probably has correlation due to processing method. Yeah, that's probably right. Next one, does acid show up in different amount depending on the brew method as an espresso or a pour over if we use the same coffee?
Yes. we also cite to different and other studies who actually measured this on brewed coffee. And there was one study, I cannot remember who made it, but they looked at espresso coffee where they used different filters and they got different amounts of acidity out from that. And also some other people looked at different brewing temperature times and grind size and got different results.
But the question is still here, if those concentration differences, depending on brew method or filters, is sensory relevant differences.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so it's still below threshold and probably the differences are so small that they're not relevant. At least that's our assumption based on our study. So you have to really distinguish between a statistical significant difference and a practical difference. Oh yeah, how strong are the brews in terms of TDS? And we had pretty low TDS, right? 1.1 or something like that, which is some people have correctly pointed out. But still, if you look at the... because I've been thinking about that, the percentage difference, right? So it's 1.1 up against 1.5. The concentration, that's very few percentage difference. So it doesn't really translate into a kind of valid criticisms against our findings. Thomas, maybe the tasters could be asked to do a triangle test and pick up the different ones instead of asking about which is the more or less acidic, or telling them what the difference is. So this is the 2F. So perhaps you could say a bit about that. So that's the difference between what we did and the triangulation, basically, question, right?
Yeah, so we could have done that, but actually it would have required a lot more tests. And that is because generally, you know, in discrimination testing, you can have an overall test, like a triangle test. So you don't say anything about what the nature of the difference is. You just know, okay, they must be different somehow, but it's up to the assessor to figure out why or how. But you can also give a directional test where you specify, okay, we know that there is a specific dimension in which these samples are supposed to vary on. And in our case, was acidity. And when you do do that, you find that it's a lot easier of a task for people to do. Of course, it has to make sense. Like, you need to know that, okay, the difference should be in acidity, because of course we are, what we are spiked the coffee with is some acids. So if you have this knowledge, then you can do this. If you don't, if you don't know what the difference might be, then of course you need to do a triangle test or some that is not specified. But it's a lot easier to pick up the difference if you direct the assessor to one specific difference, and so it's just a lot more efficient that way.
Yeah, it's not that Davide and Christina don't know the triangulation test. the method was specifically chosen because it's more relevant in this context. What would you like to study next based on your findings, and how would that change if you had unlimited funding?
Ooh.
I
offer.
Yeah. Everything. Personally, I would like to study more about how the aromas affect how we perceive the acidity, like we talked about previously. So we know that you might say that some coffee tastes like malic acid, but it's not because of the malic acid. We proved that, but maybe it's because it has apple-like aroma notes. And it would be nice to find if there is some kind of correlation and see how the aroma would affect how we perceive the coffee. And also, as we said, that the Brazilian coffee has a significantly higher amount of citric acid than a Kenyan coffee. But everybody knows that a Kenyan coffee is more acidic. Why is that? Is that based on the aromas? Maybe, maybe not. It would be interesting to investigate. That was my suggestion.
I think also that must be the most interesting because it's such an obvious weird result that it must be the most or easiest to kind of figure out, or that there's a signal here, right? There's a big difference, and if there is, there's something to kind of investigate. Daniela, do you think that could also be volatiles have a big influence on perception of the acids? Might be. We talked about that already. Would the difference between acid perception come from the flavor profile of the coffee and not the acids in the brew coffee? Yeah, that's the same. I just joined. I read the highlight about the only citric acid could be sensory detected in brew coffee. How about other acid that can be perceived to taste on the result? Or can you explain a bit about that? Why only citric could be detected? Well, we don't know why, but that's just a fact that that was the case, and that is what was we were kind of investigating. Mark, do you have data on the chemical compositions of the water used, calcium bicarbonate, magnesium, and so on?
We I don't know the specific by heart, but we mentioned the water specifics in our paper. I have it right on page 3, bottom right corner. But the thing is that we ran it through a BWT filter system to make sure that it was within the range that was specified by SCA. If I'm correctly. So we don't have the, we do have the specifics, and it's in the paper. It's a lot of technical. I will not read it right here.
It's in the paper.
It's in the paper. So we do have.
Chris, interesting to hear about the possible cross-modal influences, and would hope more research will be done to find out more about the Brazilian, Kenyans, and other origin. Yes.
We hope so too.
Yeah. Do you think the acidity part in the SCA format should be remade?
The short answer is yes. But yeah, actually, I think it should have been remade even before we made this study, because I really think that it's important that everything we teach, that there's some kind of evidence behind it. We don't have all the answers yet, but at least we have tried to find out if it's relevant or not. And the results we have so far indicates that it's not so relevant to talk about different acidities in coffee. Yeah.
Abdil, I want to say thank you guys for pioneering this research and make it easy to understand through this presentation. Anyway, I'd like to know if anyone in the team has a personal conclusion based on what you have learned through this research. I think we talked about that already, that it's neither relevant from a chemical perspective or possible from a sensory perspective. I think that's kind of the conclusion, right? Paolo, basically, as happens with sweet, also for acidity, it is our brain that interprets the perception of sweet and sour, even if they are not really present. Yeah. Next one, anonymous, as coffee professionals, how much relevant is it to be able to detect and differentiate acids? Not relevant. How temperature in brewing affects above acids that you have mentioned? If the brewing temperature has an influence?
We did not test that, but that would be it would be interesting to test how much the temperature of the water, if that would subtract some other acids, but I would not suspect it to have a difference at all on our result, but it would be different. It would be interesting, sorry.
Great. Mark, hey Mark. Al-Shimiri, another coffee researcher. When people describe the acidity as round or smooth or sharp, can this be simple due to the concentration? High concentration is sharp, low concentration is round or smooth?
Yes, combined with the flavor compounds and the interactions that we've already talked about.
Yeah. Also, any thoughts on adding acids into the post-harvest fermentation, such as they do with tartaric acids and so on? I think if you want to add acid, just find the cheapest one, which might be citric, right? Because you can't really taste the difference. Yeah, post-harvest fermentation. Yeah, because then it's going to be part of the fermentation mix and not necessarily going into the, it might be fermented before it's even diffusing into the bean. That's an interesting question, but we don't know the answer. How long did you let the coffee rest after being roasted? Do you think the rest time also affect the acid composition in the final cup? I think it was 2 weeks or something. Actually, I don't remember. But for sure, we wouldn't leave it for more than 4 weeks, and we didn't measure it immediately. So 2 weeks is my guess. And I don't think it has a big effect. It might be formic. That's the most volatile. But I don't think it has a big effect because they are not volatile. People in Denmark eat a lot of apples, so should be familiar with malic acid. Do you know of studies on the interaction of conjugated bases of acids and other sensory receptors like the ones for sweetness, bitterness, and acidity?
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
It's interesting because this person, Ariel, asked if the conjugate, so the base that's left when the H plus is left, if because that should be the one that is perceivable, right? If the acids are different, right?
Yeah.
it's an interesting. I don't know studies that have looked at that.
No. I think if studies hasn't even looked into what we've looked into in terms of thresholds, there's no way people would have looked at that. I think that's a fair way to say it, right?
Yeah.
But interesting question.
Definitely interesting question. Is CoffeeMind planning on doing follow-up research on this topic?
Someone can give us the funding.
Yeah, if somebody has a big wallet, we'll happily do it. But right now, we don't have any funding to do it. Actually, this wasn't funded either. That's all our spare time and pocket wool. And this took us, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. So, at what temperature have they tasted the coffees? Could it have been be that a warmer temp could not they could not detect, where at 50 or 40 they could?
Well, Ida is the expert in this matter. It was served at
room temperature.
Yeah, room temperature. And yeah, temperature does affect how we perceive coffee.
And I will give the mic to Ida. She's the expert.
Yes, I have done some research on coffee temperature and how it influences the taste and aroma. And we saw that at a lower temperature, the coffees were perceived as more sour. So I would say that you definitely chose the correct temperature of serving it at a lower, not a hot temperature.
I read the highlight about only citric acid could be sensorily detected in brewed coffee. How about other acids that can be perceived to taste it on the result? Or can you explain a bit about that, why only citric could be detected? We don't know why. So
isn't it also about the amount? Because the amount varied a lot in between these acids, as far as I remember. And I think citric was maybe besides chorogenic, which is, of course, a separate thing, but the citric was the one that was higher, and it was quite a lot higher than some of the others that were not detectable. So I think, yeah, you know, that there is that.
Yeah. Of all the coffee samples you have roasted by the same way as last time. But these coffee samples have roasted by the same way as
you roasted them the same way.
Yeah,
yeah, well, you can see all the profiles in the research article.
Yeah, they were roasted the same way. All light were roasted the same
way.
Ah,
okay. Yes. Yeah. Is that the question? Oh, Lukasz, hey. I love you for what you've done. Thanks a lot. Can you also refer different types of sweetness in your next research? Yeah, different types of sweetness. But that's not something that is tested in the SCA or the Q system. But that could be interesting. But it's probably an aroma thing, right?
Yeah, it's interesting.
We actually have some results also on the sweetness, where we see that the sugar decreased with higher roasting degree.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting if the amount of sugar we actually found in the lightest roast, if that's something that can be perceived sensorily, or if it's the aromas that makes us perceive it as a sweet.
Exactly, because we did not test if the sugar in the light roast could be detected or not at the amount. We only saw that they decreased with the roasting because they were formed into other acids. Yeah,
so that's definitely something that could also be interesting to look more into.
Great. James? Oh, another question. Okay. So I don't have to care about the SCA cupping form in acidity score 6 to 10?
The way they have changed it now, as far as I remember, they have an intensity score of acidity. And I think that's fair to judge that coffee on how sour is it, how acidic is it. So I think you should still care about that. But for me, it's difficult to differentiate between the quality of acidity and the intensity of acidity. We like to focus on the intensity and then let the consumers decide on preferences.
Did this research change how you might suggest coffee roasters focus when they try to influence the acidity perception in coffee for their consumers? The roast profile and choice of different coffee origins for different products? No, not really. Because this is, if you trust your own sensory skills, you will do experiments on the roaster and you will select the coffee you think is best for the consumer segment you are addressing. And when I, it's not that I don't know about chemistry when I teach coffee roasting. It's just not relevant because coffee roasters doesn't have equipment to measure it, and consumers don't read the chemistry of the beans they get anyway. So it's all about the sensory perception anyway. So I don't talk too much about chemistry because that's not what we are handling basically as coffee roasters. Even though, of course, it's interesting to measure chemistry on research projects just to explain the sensory data. But as a coffee roaster, there's no problem you cannot solve just by doing your own experiments, taste the coffee and serve and ask your consumers. Daniela, do you think doing the same experiment with espresso, the result could be different due to the type of extraction?
I think the same acid would be extracted in the same amount.
Yeah, but there will be difference in the concentration, but there's a difference in the concentration of all everything in the
exactly. Yeah. But the difference between how much acidic and how much malic would be the same.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Unless they extract very differently. But it's just if in our study it would be quite a coincidence that they don't extract differently or that they are the same. So this should be pretty much the same on across brew methods. Is there a research about acids in coffee that they're about process and fermentation? Nope. Well, I haven't seen any research on fermentation and different acids. Daniela, so if we cannot detect different acids in coffee, when someone says malic, phosphoric, and so on, it is not because he or she can detect that particular acid, but maybe because that person is relating some aromatic compound with the general acidity sensation. Yes.
That is exactly correct.
Yes, that's what we're assuming. It was a great presentation. I read the highlight about only citric acid could be sensory detected in brewed coffee. How about other acids that can perceive we have talked about that. Is that true that high temperature brewing highlight extract more acidity, even if it's good or bad? We haven't looked into that. Paul de Peralta, fascinating eye-opening study and presentation. Thanks a lot. Kitil, thanks for making coffee simpler and more fun. Question. Drinking brewed coffee, balanced sourness is by many often preferred and looked on as an important contributor to high quality coffee. When I drink a V60 coffee, which I find astringent, dry sourness, do you know if this astringency comes from the green bean, the roast degree, or bad extraction? What I wonder is if it's possible to get astringent coffee even if the extraction is good.
Some of the acids.
Yeah, some of the acids are astringent. The chlorogenic, I guess. Okay.
So I don't know if you can extract your
output. Yeah. We didn't look into this. I don't know. It's a bit too complicated. Maria, thank you so much for this paper. I feel better now about not being able to distinguish the acids in my one coffee tasting class. The teacher seemed shocked that we couldn't. Okay. What was the alkalinity of the water used? It is in the article. You can see that in the article. We'll send an email with all this. Thomas Hom. Yeah, that was also about the alkalinity. When talking about threshold, would adding up a whole bunch of acids that are just under the threshold would add up to something that we can taste?
Yes, because
we use a lot
of acids, right?
Yeah, so I think if I understand the question correctly, I think yes, they would contribute to the overall acidity of the coffee. They just wouldn't be identifiable individually. So that's also, I think, probably one of the conclusions that we write in the paper. If not, we should have written that.
Yeah. I'm wondering how this research would affect or change the way baristas would communicate or engage the consumer or customer when it comes to describing or presenting coffees. I'm sure there's a lot using the term rich in malic acid and so on. I'm sure this would be very helpful when brought to the service level. Yeah, I don't know if it will take 10 years because, yeah, I don't know. But it should change it. Thank you for making our training frustrations irrelevant. Great work. It was a burning question for me. Finally, I can say with confidence that all the fuss about the identify of acids is made up in our minds. Yeah. Lisa Perez, how do you think this research can impact the way is judges in championships as competitors usually mention the type acidity in the description and judges must find the same? Yeah, that's hopefully it will kind of spread to the competitions that competitors shouldn't mention acids for the judges to find the same. Okay, last question. Is there research about acidity in espresso? Can we identify them all? And what about the intensities? If there's not, would help us a lot if you were making one. Yeah, we haven't looked into espresso and we don't think it will change the conclusion really. All right, so thank you very much for hanging out so long. And you have been patient, so you will get the amazing offer that we have created for you, where you will get all of this in your first digital offer bundle, where if you scan this code here it's also mentioned the offer bundle that you can get an optional upsell where you can get either sensory kit shipped to your home or you can join one of my virtual roasting classes. But I'll send this on email to everybody. So I'll just close this window again. You can quickly scan the code. But don't worry, I'll send it in an email to your inbox. Great. All right. But that was basically it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this subject. And we do hope that this will have implications for the way people talk about it, but also implications for future research. Because of course, this is just the first step here. And there's so many other angles on this that's relevant that we hope to see more research building on top of ours soon. All right. And we will also put this presentation on our YouTube channel. So if you came in later, you can see the presentation, the first part of the presentation on YouTube. Great. Thank you. Let's do the classical Zoom wave. Bye.
Thank you for taking your time to listen to what we've created for you. If you want to implement some of our thoughts in your business, please go to our website, coffee-mind.com, where we are all set up for helping you as fast, affordable, and easy as possible through our automated e-learning courses starting as low as 30 euros, as well as our live virtual education programs, and of course also our on-site courses here in Denmark, and with our partner venues around the world where we will appear frequently. Use the filter bar on the front page of our website to find your learning experience of preference. Hope to see you soon.